This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 61, What Makes a Photo Great? Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 61st podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Still cold, still frigid. I'm in my car. So if you hear ambient noises, dump trucks, cars, screaming children, you'll know why. But normally these recordings come through without too many distractions. So for today's show, I thought we would talk about what makes a photo great. And yeah, maybe it's time to crack out some beers or open some whiskey or do whatever, because it's somewhat of a philosophical podcast. And I'd like to thank Matt Ausi, a bulletin board member, for starting this thread and actually suggesting it might make a good podcast. And I obviously agree. But before we get into the actual podcast, I'd like to thank both Benny and Susan for their comments on the last podcast that we did with Laszlo. They enjoyed the podcast and posted some comments, so thanks so much. And I'd also like to thank a few new members that joined our bulletin board since our last podcast, and they are Barefoot, Max Semenko, Alberta Boy, Bartman Blues, Susie Q, Carla, JJ Ealing, McKay's 117, and Chuckles 5.0. I must say our small forum is becoming more and more active, and I'm so pleased about that. We're really sharing a lot of good information there. We're sharing critiques, we're sharing information on accessories and cameras, all kinds of things are being bantered back and forth, many of them extremely interesting, so I do highly recommend that you join our forum. It's free, we're a really friendly bunch. In fact, I pride ourselves on being a friendly bunch. So please join up if you haven't done so. If you're lurking, if you're on the fence, join. You got nothing to lose. So as I just mentioned, one of our new members that just joined is JJ Ealing, and he's been posting actually a lot of really cool threads. And I'm going to put some links in the show notes. But one of the two cool threads in particular that he posted is the Guess What It Is thread. And really, really cool. So it's kind of abstract images, and you have to kind of guess what they are. And once you guess where they are, it's your turn to put up an image. So really, really cool, really, really interesting. And then he also posted another thread, the image game. So you post an image, and let's say it's an image of a mountain with a red wagon in the beginning. So then you notice the wagon, you post the reply to that thread and go wagon, and then post an image of a wagon. Then someone sees that image and they notice, oh, the wagon has a cool wheel. So they post an image of a wheel, etc., etc., etc. It's basically one element into another element. And it's really, really interesting. So if you want to join, go right ahead. It's fun. And I'd also like to thank another member in particular, Matt Ausi, who suggested this podcast. But he had a really cool idea whereby the admin, me, choose one image that I think is really good from one of the forums on our bulletin board and then talk about why it's good. And that way people can learn from it. And I've already done one, and the winner of the first one, it's an honorary award, but the winner was a photo by Kat. Really, really cool photo. And if you want to think why I think that that was a good photo, please just follow the link in the show notes. Part two of what Matt Ausi suggested is then the person's photo that I choose, so they will choose from amongst member nominations for the month. So if anyone sees an interesting image of another person on our bulletin board in one of the forums, then they can nominate that photo during the month. Any member can make the nomination, but because Kat was the photographer for the photo I chose, she is going to choose five final images from all the nominations, and then all the members can fill out a poll or post which one they think is best, and the winner gets posted again. As we said, it's just really an honorary thing, but we can learn what makes a good photo, what's an intriguing photo, and I like the fact that we're mentioning this because it blends so well with our podcast, What Makes a Photo Great? And this podcast was actually spawned by a thread, and I'll put the link in the show notes as well so you can see how it's been going. I would like people to comment as always. You can do so, you know, right on the blog, photography.ca/blog. Make your way to the forums. Just get to photography.ca and you'll find links to all these useful zones. If you haven't subscribed already, please click the subscribe in iTunes button. or any other podcatcher on the front page of our blog. And speaking about iTunes, I'd really like to thank a couple of people that left some really good reviews. iTunes is still the primary way that people will find our podcast, and when people leave reviews, it pushes it higher in the list. And I'm a lousy Canadian marketer, but if you wanted to review this podcast, if you found it of use to you, it would be appreciated. Both Greg Nuspel and Walter Pereira and Nin left three really good glowing reviews in the past month or so, and I really, really appreciate it. So if you want to say thanks in any way, you could just review the podcast in iTunes. That's it. Let's move on. So what makes a photo great, and why are we even doing a podcast about this? I mean, it's a humongous question, and there's loads of room for debate. But at the end of the day, I mean, photographers and budding enthusiasts and even pros, we want to take the best picture possible. So we're often in search of some ideal or some standard. And if we define what makes a photo great, well, then maybe that can give people some guidelines in order how to improve their own photography. You know, and there's all kinds of aspects and tangents to what makes a photo great. You know, the thread in the bulletin board started by Matt Ousley, actually. You know, he wanted to get to the root of this in order to improve his own definition. So he came up with a list, and some of the things I agree about and some of the things I don't, and some of the things people will agree with me and some they won't, and it's all cool. But at the end, hopefully we'll have just a few guidelines, a few things that make taking great pictures more concrete and the ideals that we should shoot for when we take pictures. So the thread is a few pages long. I'm certainly not going to read the whole thread. But Matt Ousley, in his attempt to define it, he started with a preliminary list, and we kind of got to a point where, you know, we need to be talking about a professional photograph or, you know, just a personal photograph. Someone that doesn't know anything about photography, is that person's opinion really valid? You know, is the photograph great or not? And let's get into that. So in the process of trying to define and or figure out what makes a great photo, you know, a lot of ideas have been put into that thread. And and it's really interesting, so do take a read. But at the end of the day, you know, we're thinking that, you know, great content has to be involved. You know, good photographic techniques, exposure has to be good. The intent of the photographer was suggested as an important element in making the photograph great. Strong focal point, good printing techniques, lack of distractions, even transcending the traditional boundaries of the craft and taking it into a new direction, that was a suggestion as well. And some people may agree and some people may disagree. And then further on in the thread, another bulletin board member, Mindforge, he has a completely different take on it. He says a great photo is 50% subject matter, 35% skill, and 15% luck. And that equals a great photo. And it's hard to debate, really. Everyone has their opinion, and I'm going to leave mine till the end and just talk a little aimlessly. But everyone has an opinion here, you know? And, you know, some people were even suggesting that if I say it's great, you know, that it's all personal and there is no standard. If I look at a photograph and I see it and I say it's great, then for me it's great. Now, I can accept that. You know, I'm a pretty liberal-minded guy. You know, at the end of the day, I'm an extremely liberal-minded guy. And if that's the definition you want to use, then feel free. I'm certainly not going to butt heads with anyone that wants to use that definition. This photo is great to me, therefore it's great. I don't buy that at all. For me, that does not apply to me. For me, I am looking for a standard. And I'm going to say what my standard is at the end, and then you can disagree with me. But I'm looking for some type of standard. And just because you tell me you think it's great, whether you're a photographer or not a photographer, I don't buy it. For me, the photograph has to have certain qualities in order for it to be great, and it can't just appeal to you for it to be great. For me, that's more sentimentality. If you think a photograph of your child is great, it may well be great, but let's just say it's a picture of your child and you love it, and maybe the eyes are focused, maybe there's a tree branch coming out of the back of his head because you placed him in front of a tree, but you like it for some sentimental reason, then at least for me, that's not a great photo. Might be a great photo for you sentimentally, but it ain't for me. I'm trying to get to a somewhat stricter definition of what makes a great photo that we can all agree on. And by I mean all, I mean newbie and professional alike. Obviously, there'll be one person on 1,000 that won't agree, or 10 people on 1,000, but I'd like to get somewhere where the majority of people do agree with what the standard should be, and it's hard to do, and that's why we're here. for me, I actually like MindForge's definition because it doesn't really talk about the subject matter. It just talks about the percentage of skill and or luck related to producing that good picture. He suggests 50% subject matter, 35% skill, and 15% luck equals a great photo. You know, I could kind of go with that, but for me, I'd like to bring the skill level up to 65%. You know, when you have good skill, you can make garbage look really good when you have good skill. For me, skill is the single most important matter. 20% is the subject matter for me, and 15% is luck. I mean, let's say you go out and the lighting is just perfect. That's luck. You have no control over it. I mean, if you wait for it, then that fits into the skill factor, right? So that's why I agree 65% is the skill. And even the subject matter at 20%, I mean, you can know good subject matter from bad subject matter, which is why I give skill 65%. But luck is a factor. Let's be real. It happens all the time. You're just sitting somewhere, and then all of a sudden, something great either walks by or, you know, appears to you. I guess there's skill there, too, because you know if you want to take it, but you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes you're in a circumstance, and serendipity, the thrill and or gift of finding something unsought, just appears right before you. That's luck, and it does play a part. But for me, and only for me, and we can debate this really hard afterward, and I'd love some good comments on it. But for me, when I talk about what makes a great photo, I'm talking about this. I'm talking about a suggested story or strong focal point, great printing or rendering. So, you know, if you see a print, it should be really well printed. Or if you're looking at it on your monitor, it should look good. Normally, that means a full selection of tones from pure white to pure black. Normally, you know, if you want to create something really low contrast where there's not a full range of tones, but it adds a certain mood, you have the right subject, you're going for the right feel and you've achieved it, then no, it doesn't need to have a full range of tones. But normally for subjects that we're going to photograph, we're going to want to see a full range of tones normally. And I would suggest that that percentage would go over 90% of all photographs people are going to take should have a full selection of tones. And this is true in color and true in black and white, but you really, really notice it in black and white because there's just two shades, you know, from black to white and all the shades of gray. So the more tones there are in these reproductions, and people are often converting from color to black and white, and when they convert, they may or may not be happy with their results. I will suggest that they are going to be happier with their results in terms of the tones when there is a fuller palette of tones than, you know, when the tones are constricted or, you know, too harsh where the white is clipped and you can't have any detail in the whites anymore. I would suggest the full range of tones is the best way, you know, more often than not. No distractions is a big one for me. No distractions as a general rule. There's always exceptions to the rules, but I've said this 1,000 times. You got to know the rules before you break the rules. Don't show me a photograph of something super interesting when you can't really take the basics. Start with the basics. Learn the basics first, then get more advanced, and then break all the rules you want. But don't bring me a photograph of something that kind of happened by accident in a way that you'll never be able to reproduce. First, learn you know, proper exposure, composition, etc., and then bring me a photograph. Okay, back to distractions. Yes, distractions are a big one. I think we've done one or two podcasts on it already, but, you know, if it's a portrait, make sure there's not a lamppost right in back of the person's head suggesting that the top of the lamppost is their hat. You know, don't show me a scene strewn with garbage when 5 minutes of cleanup would have made that photograph much stronger. Distractions are key. Distractions are brightness. Also, don't show me a photograph with one element in that photograph that is so bright that all the attention is going to that part of the photograph. So again, no distractions. Be aware of distractions. When you look through your camera, look at it as though it's a clock. 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. Move your eyes around the perimeter of the scene, pretending that 12 o'clock is on top, and just go around the scene and look for distractions and remove them. And if you can't remove them, change your position. If it's too bright, be aware of that and don't shoot it. You know, add supplemental light, change your location, do what you need to do. But at the end of the day, if we're going for a great photograph, it's got to be free of distractions or have as little distractions as possible. It goes without saying that the photograph should have good exposure, good composition, and good lighting. That's also important for me as well. So to recap, that's my list basically. A suggested story, great printing, no distractions, and good exposure. That will do it for me. And that will make a great photograph. More often than not, when those four elements are working in tandem, the result is great, or at least really, 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 really good. Follow those rules, and I would suggest that the quality of your photography will increase exponentially. But those are hard rules to follow, and they take some years before they become automatic, just so you know. Now back to the personal greatness thing for a sec. You know, I think, and this has partly to do with one of the books I've read like 10, 15 years ago, and it's the only book that I've ever read twice. And it's called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and it's a real hippie-ass book. but a fun read, a very stimulating read, great read actually. And they talk about quality in that book, and a lot. They talk about quality for over 100 pages. And for me, I kind of buy what the premise is in that book, is that we all know quality, right? We all know quality when we see it. We can't really define it all the time, but we all know quality when we see it. Even a newbie will look at a photograph that's great and a look at a photograph that's less great, he'll be able to pick out the better photograph just because he has an innate sense of quality. If we taste a Toblerone chocolate bar, okay, I'm partial to Toblerone, but if we taste the Toblerone chocolate bar, and then we taste chocolate from a dollar store, we know that the Toblerone is better. We didn't study chocolate making, but we know the Toblerone is better because our tongue is experiencing an orgy of flavors that it's not getting from a dollar store chocolate. So I really think in art as well, we know the difference between good and bad innately. So yes, there are rules of the craft, and I suggested what they were before with my four rules, and of course, please, please, please comment, you know, bat me over the head, say, Marco, you're a bonehead, I completely disagree. I'll ask for comments at the end of this podcast, but at the end of it, I think most people know these rules, even though they may not have studied them in their craft. And a photographer that follows some of these rules, that has a good idea of composition, lighting, exposure, etc., they are going to produce a photograph that is going to be far more universally accepted as great than someone that does something just for them that may have broken all the rules, or someone else that finds sentimentality in the photograph and it has touched them personally in some way, but it's not going to touch anyone else. So it may be great to them with a small g, but I dare say it's not great with a capital G. And I'm going to upload one or two really great images just to suggest what they may be. But one that many of us have seen before is that picture of the Afghan girl that was taken some years ago, could be 15, 20 years ago, and I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. It was on the cover of National Geographic, and she had the most wicked, captivating eyes you will ever see. There's like no one on the planet that's going to tell me that that's not a great photo. And the vast majority of people haven't studied photography, but we all know greatness when we see it. I think we do. I really think we do for the most part. And that photo is a pretty good example to illustrate that point. And I'm going to try and put another one or two to also suggest what I think is a great photo. So now that I put myself out there like this by suggesting what I think is a great photo and by suggesting that personal opinion doesn't count, that it's sentimental, well, then now it's your guys' turn to comment on it all. And if you agree with me, yahoo, and if you don't, let's move the conversation forward a little bit. I'm going to put a link to the show notes in the original thread. Of course, you can comment on the blog, photography.ca/blog. Send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com, or just take what you've heard with a grain of salt and wait for the next podcast, which shall be far more concrete. I've been working on that monitor calibration thing, and I know people are waiting for it. That should indeed be the next one out. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It's starting to get a bit warmer, so I hope we do get to see some more melting shots and people do get out more. But as always, put on a warm coat and a hat and just get out there. Doesn't matter what you shoot, as long as you keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.